We are recording.
We are now recording.
We are live. Welcome to the Hobby Talk podcast. This is Mike Duquesne with David Scrivener. David, how are you doing this evening?
Excellent.
Awesome. So we're recording on a Friday night, the Friday before Super Bowl Sunday. So I was kind of curious, do you have any plans for Super Bowl Sunday?
I thought we were going to have a podcast during the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl? Nah. We are not doing that. I actually watched the Super Bowl. It's kind of entertaining for me.
The commercials?
I don't really care about the commercials too much. I know a lot of people do like the commercials, although I did you see that Budweiser is not going to do any commercials this year in the Super Bowl?
I did not. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, like they're the like probably most famous, popular, company to advertise during the Super Bowl. I can't remember how many years they said they've done it in a row. This is the first time in several years that they won't have any advertisements. I didn't really look to see the reason or explanation behind why they're not doing it. But that is kind of interesting. I would say that usually the hype over the commercials is a little bit more exciting than the actual commercials themselves. But every once in a while, you get a couple of good ones. You could probably just check YouTube or something after the fact and see all the good commercials if you don't watch it during the game. But
yeah, I actually watched a GM one that was supposed to be on the Super Bowl. They already released it.
Oh, you got a little preview of it, huh?
Well, I mean, they just like already like have it out there. Like, wow, this is gonna be the ad that we show during the commercial in the Super Bowl. It's like, okay, well,
interesting. So you're
strike the Super Bowl off my list of things to do. Actually, I never watched Super Bowl. I did watch it a lot, at least half of the game when the Falcons were in it. But you know,
that's interesting.
It was a little bit disappointing. So
a little bit, yeah. To say the least. I mean, I wasn't a big. I'm still not really a big Falcons fan, even though I live down here in Georgia. But I know there was a lot of people that I work with who were devastated. You know, obviously they had the big lead in the Super Bowl and then blew
it. You got to root for the home team. You don't root for the home team?
Oh, yeah, no, I was rooting for them. I definitely was in that case. They were playing the Patriots. So I was rooting for them. I was disappointed, but I was the level of disappointment was much less for me than it was for a lot of people that were diehard fans.
Well, who's your team then?
I thought it was almost amusing just because of the fact that Atlanta teams, they just have such terrible, it seems like it's terrible luck or they just can't seem to get over the hump a lot of times. I guess the Braves won one World Series during their big run. That was 20 years ago.
We are typically really good at getting to the final stages of any competitive series, any sport, and then we flop.
Yeah, choke it away.
Miserably choke in the actual series. So
well, that's what the Braves always do. The good news for Atlanta Falcons fans is they don't have to worry about choking this Super Bowl because they're not anywhere close to being in the game. They didn't make the playoffs. They weren't any good at all this year. So I do think it will be a good game. Depending on when people listen to this podcast, the game may already be over. But I do think it'll be a good game with Tampa Bay and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are probably considered to be favorites with the new star quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who won the Super Bowl last year. And I think they're favored to win again this year. So I do think the game's going to be pretty fun. But I will say the other thing that is pretty fun for Super Bowl Sunday is the food situation. I always kind of do a big food pregame, you know, with lots of different appetizers and cooking out or grilling out or doing stuff like that. So even though you might not be watching the game, do you have any good meal plans for over the weekend?
Oh, I'll be eating. For sure.
Do you have any what's on the dinner table?
I'm not sure actually. I think we're doing a ham on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, so ham's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, we're actually gonna have the neighbors over on Super Bowl Sunday. We haven't had them over. They've moved in. I don't know. They moved in a couple months ago, but we haven't really gotten together with them yet. We've talked a little bit, but we invited them over for Super Bowl Sunday. We're kind of looking forward to that. We got a lot of work to do to clean up the house and stuff, but we'll be doing that tomorrow. But yeah, we're just trying to plan out the meal. So we're going to do Shelly's chili, my wife's chili, which she does makes a really good chili. And then we'll have some different appetizers. I think they may be bringing over some appetizers, so I don't know exactly what all we'll have, but probably have some veggies and dip and some chips and dip. So I'm kind of excited about the food, the food part of this Super Bowl Sunday. So jumping gears over to baseball now. There was I'd say pretty big news this past Monday. Major League Baseball issued a statement. Let me see if I got my phone here so I can read it. You know, there's a lot of questions about, like, what's going to happen this year, 2021, for the baseball season. You know, there was a lot, it was basically quiet. We didn't hear anything about it. You know, I heard some players talking, and they were saying they anticipated that it would be on schedule, normal season schedule. But they didn't really know at the time. So then on Monday, let's see here if I can find it. Okay, MLB statement. Yes, so Major League Baseball issued a statement. And this is, quote, on the advice of medical experts, we proposed a one-month delay to the start of spring training in the regular season to better protect the health and safety of the players and support staff. A delay of the season would allow for the level of COVID-19 infection rates to decrease and additional time for the distribution of vaccines, as well as minimizing potential disruptions to the 2021 season that currently faces all sports. The offer included starting the regular season on April 29th and playing a 154-game schedule that would pay players in full as if playing 162 games. We also proposed two changes from 2020 season that were overwhelmingly popular with our fans for this season only, featuring modified expanded play a postseason, 7 teams per league, and universal designated hitter rule. And then just to finish off their comments here, it says this was a good deal that reflected the best interest of everyone involved in the sport by merely moving the calendar of the season back 1 month for health and safety reasons, without impacting any other rights either the players or the clubs currently have under the basic agreement, blah, 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 blah. So you heard that comment from Major League Baseball on Monday. What are your thoughts about that? Seem reasonable, agree, disagree? They wanted to push back the season 1 month, and they used health and safety as their, reason for doing so, based on medical advice, they say. I think the Biden administration was kind of pushing for that. So what are your thoughts on that?
I want it back to normal. I want it back to normal.
Yes.
But, I mean, honestly, like, the baseball, like, I don't understand because, like you could just modify the attendance of crowds. Right. I mean, it wouldn't be any different for the players.
Yeah. So recall last year they had the modified season. Major League Baseball had a 60-game season and there was no fans. OK, no fans the whole entire thing. This year, I think most fans are believing, and I think some of the players as well, that it will be more back to normal where we actually have fans. I mean, other sports have proven that they can play safely with fans in the stands. Other sports have been going on for months and months now.
Right? I mean, they're
NFL just completed a full season. They played their entire schedule, and they're going to play the Super Bowl this Sunday.
NFL, and there's fans, right?
Like there's fans. I mean, it's limited numbers. Now they
reduce it. Yeah, they reduce it, spread them out, masks, something like that.
So the Players Association, MLBPA, released a statement that same day, and this was their statement. Late last week, the MLBPA, for the first time this offseason, received a proposal from MLB to delay spring training and opening day by approximately 1 month. Under the proposal, the end of the season would be delayed 1 week, the regular season would be shortened to 154 games, and all 30 teams would be required to play several doubleheaders. Players would also be required to accept previously rejected proposals that link expanded playoffs with expansion of designated hitter. Although player salaries would not be initially prorated to a 154-game regular season, MLB proposal offers no salary or service time protections in the event that further delays, interruptions, or cancellations of the season. The MLBPA executive board and players' leadership reviewed and discussed the owner's proposal throughout the weekend and today. The clear-cut result of these deliberations is that the players will not accept MLB's proposal, will instead continue preparations for an on-time start to the 2021 season, and will accept MLB's commitment to again direct its clubs to prepare for an on-time start. Do not make this decision lightly. Players know firsthand the efforts that were required to complete the abbreviated 2020 season, and we appreciate the significant challenges that lie ahead. We look forward to promptly finalizing enhanced health and safety protocols that will help players and clubs meet these challenges. So basically, the players rejected the proposal to delay a month. And honestly, this is I think it's kind of a bad look on both the players and MLB. It's a kind of continuation of last year where they're basically fighting and negotiating in public, which is just unfortunate. You know?
Yeah, why don't they just keep this behind closed doors here? This is kind of stupid, but
exactly.
I got to be honest. I'm with the players on this one. I mean, you know, I think they just need to just play the season like normal. And just have restrictions on the crowds.
Yeah, I guess kind of going deeper into this a little bit is, you know, at the end of this season and at the end of the 2021 season, they're gonna have to renegotiate their, I guess they call it CBA, the contract agreements between the owners and the baseball players. And so they could make some big changes here in the next year. So I think the players are thinking that the owners are – I think both sides are kind of looking at this and they're looking in the future, this upcoming negotiations that's coming up, and kind of trying to weigh how this would have impact on those negotiations. For example, if the players were to accept that proposal, they're kind of pushing these certain things – that may not be beneficial to the players. For example, they talked about the expanded playoffs and the designated hitter. That's kind of like viewed as a one-off. So the owners would like to have expanded playoffs because the playoffs is where they make the most money. That's where most people are interested in the playoffs. So if they add teams to the playoffs, then they're generate more revenue, most likely. I don't know that the players are completely opposed to that. I'll talk about a little bit why they might be a little bit opposed to it. On the flip side, the owner, the players like the DH. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. The NL and the AL have different rules in baseball, which is kind of weird. I think maybe they should go back and just agree that both leagues have the same rules. But the National League, they traditionally have allowed the pitcher to hit. In the American League, they have a DH, so the pitchers don't hit. What they did last year was everybody had a DH, so the National League had a DH. And the players like that generally because it allows for an additional player to be on the team and generally it's beneficial for them salary-wise. It gives them more opportunities, basically, to make more money. And I think the fans like both. They like the DH, like MLB said. The fans like both, generally speaking. I mean, there's going to be people that are old school that like the pitchers hitting. But honestly, that's for me, I like the DH. The pitchers, it's almost like a guaranteed out. They're boring. You know, they get hurt. And they're pitchers. I mean, they're not up, they're not in the major leagues to hit. So I like the DH. I'd like to see him keep it in the NL as well. The expanded playoffs, I'm not as high on. And the reason why the players don't really like it or they're kind of hesitant about it is because they believe that the owners will use it as an excuse to not spend as much money. Because think about this. The more teams that get into the playoffs, the more likely that you'll get into the playoffs, right? So you don't have to pay for all the best players to get that top spot. You're probably going to make the playoffs anyways. You'll still make your money if you make the playoffs. So I think that that's where the players are coming from on the not. They're not thinking that it's a fair trade-off. They would like the DH, but they don't. They think the expanded playoffs is a much more bigger win for the owners leading up to the negotiations, I guess, coming up. So, so you say you're with the players. I'm kind of with the players here on this one as well. But is there any other thoughts you have about this whole mess that's going forward as of right now? Basically, the plan is to, because they rejected the MLB's offer, the plan is to start the baseball season on time. So that's the latest, although there was, I did see some news that yesterday, the Biden administration, some of the higher officials in Biden administration, the president, and MLB owners, MLB was trying to get on a call, and the Players Association basically was like, no, we don't want to, because they... They knew that they were going to try to get pressured into changing basically their mind and delaying the season. So that the Players Association is like, no, we're not getting on that call. So it's still not a done deal. But as of right now, the plan is to play on time, on schedule. And I'm with you. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. No, I think it should be on time, on schedule. I think they should adjust the crowds. I think it should follow the lead of all the other major sports. And obviously that works just fine. And I also do not agree with the designated hitter.
I'm not a fan
of designated hitter. I'm also not a fan of multiple pitchers throughout the game. I'm not for the pitchers. I'm against the pitchers. I think that they need to man up and learn to hit the ball. So I think Babe Ruth hit the ball, didn't he? And he pitched.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, let's go back to the roots, man. Like, if you want to be a baseball player, you need to play the whole game. Not just like, I just got an arm. I mean, I think it's just gone too far with the whole let's baby the pitcher because they can only be the maximum performance for, you know, five innings. You know, six innings, you know, it's like after that, so we got to have the relief pitcher and then we got to have the closing pitcher. It's like, got to have a fresh arm for that last. You know what? I want to see a pitcher pitch the whole game. I want to see them bat as well. I want to see them do the whole thing. And I know that's never going to happen because, you know, that's what they've gone against that. Like the way the teams have done it is they've changed their whole stance on that to basically save the pitcher's arm, not push them to do batting. I mean, honestly, it doesn't make sense to have the National League and the American League do two different things. So I agree with that. It should be the same rule across the board.
But you're going the opposite direction. You're saying AL needs to.
Yeah, I think they should not have designated hitter. I think they should. I think it is important. It would be an advantage if you had a pitcher who could actually, A, pitch the whole game, and B, who could hit the ball. I mean, that's, I think interesting. That should also, that should be two things that should be an aspect, an aspiration of any pitcher is to be have more longevity in their ability to pitch performance, and as well as hit the ball. Now I understand you're not going to get the 9 innings out of it, and it's going to be impossible to go against the mindset of managers and everything at this point. But I just would like to see it, because I mean, to me, that's more interesting.
I love the differing opinions. That's great. I agree with most of what you're saying, to be honest. I would disagree on the pitchers hitting. I mean, the pitchers are not, that's not why they're in the MLB. They're not going to be good hitters. I will agree on the pitching front, and I like to see starting pitchers go deep into games. But here's the deal. They have the analytics, the statisticians that do all this analysis that suggest that once a pitcher pitches a certain amount of pitches, the opponents, once they get to see the pitcher, 3-4 times, that they're not as effective, and you'd be better off bringing in these bullpen arms and the guys that are in for just one inning and just firing gas. You're better off to do that. The other thing is money in the business side of baseball. You're paying these guys a lot of money, so you don't want to risk the chance of them getting hurt, right? So I don't love that aspect of it, and I do kind of miss the old-time grind it out starting pitchers who are like, I'm not coming out, you're not taking me out ever, like I'm finishing this game. Like, I really wish there was more of that. And the other thing that was a trend, and I'm hoping that maybe I think they identified that this was a problem. They did modified rules last year. I don't know if it'll continue, but they had the 3-batter minimum that the pitcher came in. They had to face at least 3 batters. I actually like that, because what you were seeing was like 10, 15 pitching changes in a game. It just slows the game down. Pitchers would come in for one batter. It'd be a lefty going against a lefty. They'd get that guy out, and then they'd bring in a new pitcher. And then it just kills the flow of the game. So that's really bad, in my opinion. So I do agree with you in some aspects of that, but I would disagree on the fact that I'm ready. I've moved on. I used to, say, hey, let the pitchers hit. But, I've moved on that stance, and I'd be happy to have the DH. So, but I do appreciate your opinion on that. That's interesting that you say that, but that you brought up some good points.
Hey, some of the most interesting moments in baseball when I watched the Braves was when a pitcher would potentially hit a home run or get a good hit. I mean, that was the most exciting moments.
It is pretty – I mean, you definitely have some points, and you probably could convince me the other way. I've kind of waffled a little bit on this. I used to be fully in support of the pitcher hitting. The other piece of that puzzle I've heard that people that support the pitchers hitting is you'll see this come up where it's like the unwritten rules of baseball, where the pitchers will hit one of the batters and then they'll have the retaliation. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They're a little infighting between the teams, and the fact that the pitchers don't have to hit, they're basically getting off scot-free. Kind of, I equate the pitchers to quarterbacks in football. Now we're talking about the Super Bowl coming up here on Sunday. The quarterbacks get babied. I mean, the umpires, the referees, they'll call any ticky-tack foul on the defense if they even touch the quarterback now. They're in their little bubble back there. They're protecting them because they know that they're, big money for the NFL. Everybody's, the quarterbacks are here to watch.
But here's the thing. Every time you say any of this, it's always coming back to the money.
It is, though. That's what it is. It's
about the money, and that's what I don't like about it. So
I agree. I don't like the money aspect of it. Let's move on to the next topic.
I think the next topic, I have a comment on that.
What's the next comment? The rich get richer with the Bauer going to the Dodgers?
Yeah. Let's have it.
Well, the rich get richer. Breaking news today, as we're doing this podcast, is Trevor Bauer, the reigning NL Cy Young pitcher, formerly of the Reds, just signed with the Dodgers. So now the Dodgers, who won the World Series last year, their top three rotation is Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Bauer, which is just ridiculous, to go along with their lineup, which is ridiculous. Los Angeles, of course, has a gigantic payroll, and they can afford it. And, you know, there's a couple of super teams in the NL now. I mean, it's very clear. You've got the Dodgers, who have to be the favorite, again, considered the favorite. And the Padres in the division in the West, they've been loading up. They got some really good young stars. Of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. is, you know, one of the brightest stars in the game today. So the Padres will be able to compete with them. The Padres traded for my Cubs pitcher Darvish, ace. So they've got a really good staff there too. They traded for Snell. They already had some good pitchers in their rotation. So the Padres will compete with the Dodgers. That will be very entertaining to watch as we get into 2021 to see that battle between the Padres and Dodgers. That'll be really entertaining. The NL East, we already talked about, they're strong as well, with the Nationals getting better, the Mets being good, and the Braves. And before you comment on what you wanted to comment on the Bauer situation, I wanted to bring you some new breaking news. This just dropped late this evening. The Braves have added an outfielder. They have re-signed Ozuna, Marcell Ozuna, so that is actually a really big acquisition for the Braves. I think if you remember last week, we talked and I said that the Braves have a glaring hole in the outfield, that they had to bring in an outfielder, and it looks like they've addressed that tonight with the signing Marcell Ozuna.
Okay, cool. I don't know that person.
He had a monster year last year, so you'll, as you start watching the baseball, you'll start to know Marcell Ozuna. He had a monster year, so that's a big signing for the Braves.
As you force the baseball upon me, I shall learn.
You shall learn. Hey, but you have some good opinions, so maybe you know more than you realize.
No, I don't know anything, but I have opinions. I just think that this whole thing, whatever happened to Moneyball, you know? Whole sabermetrics, all that jazz. All the top teams took that upon themselves, and so then it canceled out all the lowly teams that didn't have the good budgets to compete on the same metrics.
So here's the thing, like, baseball is the most, like, mathematician, sabermetrics. The difference is now is, like, all the teams are doing it. Like, back in the day, it was like, it was kind of like a unique thing, the Moneyball, and they had to have their data analytics, and I think that was more along the lines of, you know, working for walks and getting on-base percentage and stuff like that. They had their different, I guess, metrics that they really valued more so than other teams did, and it really worked out for them.
Yeah. Great so movie, there by the are... way. Did you watch that?
Did I watch the movie?
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty good. What do you
did
you
great watch movie? It? Yeah, great movie.
Love yeah, it. I thought so. It was very good.
You got Sorkin, you got Pitt. I mean, come on.
Yeah, awesome. Pitt was Billy Bean. Yeah, so that was a good movie. But I would say the small market teams in Major League Baseball, they have a chance, but their window is very short generally, and they've got to basically be perfect. They've got to hit on all their draft picks. They've got to gel at the right time, and they've got to do it in a short window, because once they get to stardom, you know, level, then they're basically gone. You know, they're the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox are going to pick them off, and they got to rebuild again. It's like a new cycle.
I mean, again, this is never going to happen. But what I'd like to see is everybody gets the same amount across the board. Let's take money out of the equation.
That's it. That's a story. Now, I really
do. That's what I would love to see. It's never going to happen. It's like, this has all been all about the money. But, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if, like, literally every team had the same amount? You know, players can still get decent amounts, right? But each team can only have so many big buck players, you know what I mean? Because of the fact that it's all even across the board. I mean, again, it's never going to happen. I mean, this is like communism. You know, it's never going to happen. You know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah, there are
but
sports
that... I just think it would be so cool to see what would happen with the baseball season if all the teams were equally budgeted. You know what I'm saying? It'd just be really interesting to me. And I would love to see something like a Moneyball situation where it's not about like the statistics of everything, but what if like, you know, somebody comes up with some metric or figuring out how like people play together or like or actually, you know, one of these like amazing stories of like these movies, you know, that you see like all this motivational manager just gets them all playing together really well, you know, and it works because they play well together or they are motivated to do better or whatever, you know what I mean? Something that you can't even put in a metric.
That'd yeah, I agree. Too. I mean, I don't like
again, the, never going to happen, but
I don't like the money cool. aspect of the business side of the sports. I'm more of the fan and I like the actual game part of the sports. I guess you could say that the inequality in some of these teams, financially speaking, kind of gives you the little bit of the David and Goliath story. And sometimes these little market teams come up and do great and win the World Series. You know, the Marlins, it's been a long time, but did they win the World Series? Yeah, they won the World Series. You know, we got the Rays who did really well last year. They don't have hardly any money at all. So, you know, you think that the teams that have the most money are going to win every time. But in baseball especially, it really hasn't been the case. You think about the Yankees. They haven't won the World Series in several years. It's been a long time since the Yankees have won. And before last year, the Dodgers hadn't won the World Series in a long time. So,
yeah,
I mean,
on
it's other teams.
They're on to something there. I mean, it's not about being stars. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they're just focusing on the money. They're all just focusing on the money. Like, oh, let's just, if we just, like, pay all the top players for all the top, you know, all these positions, we get the top player for every position, we're going to win. That doesn't work like that. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
So it would be interesting if somebody could figure out, you know, something else, you know.
Well,
but the Braves have always been like, oh, let's pull in, you know, let's pull in these, like, awesome rookies and, you know, and then as soon as they get good, we sell them off.
Yeah. I mean, every team kind of goes through this, but, you know, it'll be interesting. I thought that those are two really big signings though, that happened today with Bauer going to the Dodgers and Ozuna re-signing with the Braves. So those were two free agents that were out there, that just signed. So that gives a little bit more clarity about, you know, the NL and the teams that are going to be competing. Obviously, I feel like the Braves will compete in the National League East, and it just basically further solidifies the Dodgers as the favorite. You know, they saw the Padres kind of catching up and getting all these acquisitions. So with them getting Bauer, I think that probably puts Dodgers back in the favorite. But probably want to try to wrap it up here pretty quickly, but I did want to touch on news on the video game front, actually. So it was just news was released this past week that the very popular and maybe my favorite video game of all time, EA Sports College Football, is coming back. Did you know it existed? Did you NCAA College Football video game? Did you know it existed? And did you know that it has not been around for a while?
I had heard of it. I didn't know it like ever went away.
Yeah, so NCAA football was very popular back in the 2000s, early 2010s. But EA Sports canceled it, and I believe in large part due to licensing issues. You know, with college football, there's there's that amateur designation that's been controversial for many, many years. The players don't get paid. So there's some lawsuits and some different concerns about, you know, the video game, including players, but the players not basically getting any of the revenue. I know we're going down the same kind of topic that we don't like to talk about, the money, but basically this game was been, you know, shut down since 2013. I think is the last year they had NCAA college football, and it was my favorite game. It's an awesome game. But finally it looks like the NCAA, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in college sports, honestly. I really don't know. But there's definitely been gaining momentum for either compensating the players and college athletes, or the possibility of maybe the NCAA just, like, getting blown up and, like, you know, these conferences forming their own leagues and stuff like that. So there's a lot of uncertainty on the college sports front, especially like college football, where there's the big schools and then the little schools. So I really don't know what's going to happen there. But apparently EA Sports feels like they can jump back in the game now. So it does not sound like the game will come out this year, but they're definitely putting the go signal on. So they're starting to develop and get ideas for the new. And they're going to change the name. It always was NCAA football, college football, and then whatever year it was. And so they're changing it to EA Sports College Football. I think that they said with the idea of kind of understanding that the NCAA might, they don't know what's going to happen with NCAA, with everything, all these changes that are happening. So they, with them branding it EA Sports College Football, there will be college football, and they can kind of tailor their game to whatever changes, you know, in the future hold. So, but that was really exciting news for me personally. As soon as that game comes out, I'm jumping all over that and getting that. Might be a good excuse or a reason to buy myself a PlayStation 5. Time comes, maybe PS5. Next year. We'll see. Yeah.
Nah, you're not going to do that, are you?
We'll see.
It'll come out on PS4, right?
Probably. We'll see. But that's exciting news. And I wanted to wrap up because we didn't do a snack tonight. But
I'm snacking.
I gotta tell you, this is the best snack that there is. It cannot be beaten. And I mean, we might just have to end the snack thing after this because this is the best snack. It is Amish Country Popcorn, rainbow variety.
Rainbow.
This is like the best popcorn you can have. So I got this. My parents got this for me for Christmas. They knew I'm a big popcorn eater. I can eat popcorn every single day. But this popcorn is special. It's really good. I can't explain all the reasons why, but this special, this is Amish Country Popcorn. This comes directly from my home state of Indiana, in a small city called Bern, Indiana. This is, we're going Midwest, right? Because you had jam from Ohio. This is popcorn from Indiana. And this is the northeast corner of Indiana, just south of Fort Wayne, near the Ohio border. And Bern is an Amish, there's a high Amish population, apparently, German and Swiss immigrants. So a little history there for you. But These Amish people, I guess, know how to make popcorn, and this popcorn is really good. There's a bunch of different varieties. That's why it calls rainbow variety. But what the thing that I think is best about it, so it's, you know, I have a popcorn maker, so I put it in my popcorn popper and put some canola oil in there and pop it in my popper and throw some seasoned salt on there and maybe a little bit of butter topping on it. It's so good. These kernels are, you know, when the popcorn is popped, it's super fresh. And the kernels are, the actual popcorn itself is smaller than a typical popcorn. Like a lot of times, you have the popcorn popping big, huge pops. I think that the smaller size might be what makes the difference here. But I'm telling you, David, you need to try this Amish Country Popcorn. Look it up. It's on Amazon. It's anywhere you can find specialty popcorn, but I would be eating it right now, but I ate it all gone, and it's gone. It's literally gone. The whole bag is gone. So I need to order myself more.
So it's not actually different colors.
The actual corn kernels are, there are different colored kernels, but I mean, it pops, okay. It pops white.
Cause I was going to be disappointed, you know, if it didn't actually have, different colors.
Yeah. The kernels are different colors. So that's, I guess that's where the now, rainbow variety comes from.
I always used to like back in the day, like those kernels that would like half pop.
Yes. You know, there are half pops.
Whatever happened to, you know, they actually made like half pop kernels now, right?
Yes. Yes. That's what I was going to say. Those are great. Actually, I need to get some more of those. They're in the problem is they're kind of hard to find. I think I might have found them in a Walmart before, but generally they're in like these specialty stores. So have you heard of, what's the grocery store that's like, it's off of Town Lake. The people listening are like, what the heck is Town Lake?
Aldi?
No, not Aldi. It's like, it's supposed to be the fresh natural store, but it's, man, the names, it's escaping me, but anyways, it's probably going to be harder to find. You have to go to a specialty grocery store to find them, but, Amish Country Popcorn, I think it's widely available. I think you need to get some.
Okay. Well, I'm eating goldfish.
Oh my gosh. I've got this bowl of goldfish sitting right next beside me. I was working, and then I came downstairs and I saw my son, Colin, and he had this bowl of goldfish. It was like overflowing. We were like 30 minutes away from dinner time, and I was like, Colin, what? Like, you can't have like a bowl like that large like right before dinner. I've got the bowl right here. It's like half filled. So I mean, he couldn't eat it all, but apparently my son's big into goldfish as well.
Yeah, I like goldfish.
I mean, it's good stuff, but I mean, that's basically like his diet is goldfish, Cheez-Its, and I mean, I don't know, like soda. I don't know what else it is.
I don't like the Cheez-Its. Do you ever have Better Cheddars?
No.
Oh, Better Cheddars, man. That's what I'm talking about. They're hard to find. You can't find them anywhere. It seems like, I don't know if they went out of business or what, but they were like circular.
Mm.
And they were like thinner than Cheez-Its. A little bit more like a chip. Okay. Than like a soggy cracker. Like Cheez-Its are like a soggy cracker.
I don't know. I'm liking some of the cheeses. I think that there's some flavors that are better than others. The pizza flavor is good, in my opinion.
Nah, but I don't like any of the flavors.
All right. Well, agree to disagree. Just like
cheese and salt, man. That's all you need. Just
the
salt.
The regular cheese.
It's really just a reason to put salt in your mouth. That's it.
And cheese. All right, David.
Yeah,
well,
just salt.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on the Cheez-Its and the designated hitter. But it's been a fun podcast today. I think we're going to wrap it up here. So any final closing thoughts you would like to say?
No more DH.
No more DH. All right. Thanks, everybody. You heard it from David. No more DH. Actually, I don't think they're going to have the DH this year, so that'll make David happy. At least that's the way it is right now. So thanks, everybody, for watching. Or, well, I guess you're listening to the Hobby Talk podcast. This has been Mike Duquesne and David Scrivener. Take care and God bless. Bye.
Later.